We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
There's a switch that needs to go off in the postseason. Some embrace it. Some look forward to it because they know there's success. And the other side of success is worship.
A parade of champions.
This is why you need to respect guys like Curt Schilling, guys like John Lester, guys like Pedro.
And of course, Wally. Don't forget Wally.
What's going to happen when you go to New York? They stomped him. I mean, 16-1.
We score 16 at Yankee Stadium. Suck on it.
I feel like that changed some people's opinion of what they're capable of in the postseason.
Yankees going to win the series. I got to be true to myself.
Lou, thank you. We'll let you get back to enjoying the duck boat portion of the parade.
We want to go now, actually, to our Gary Tangway.
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Hope you've texted Tangway. Just the update on it. Kimbrel was the one that was tipping pitchers. Okay, Sale had the
shoulder problem.
You got to give him a rundown, Dominic, because he. And I would expect
those
that,
are the people they were going to while I was sitting at this podium. Yes. And they came to me for like 4 minutes.
Yes.
And then the second time they asked me to set the scene.
Right. But in all fairness, I thought
a waste of my morning
from five to rows deep.
He's not too angry, is he?
It'll be fun. Like, you know, set the scene. Oh, it's chaos.
But let's face
That's
it.
That's crazy.
You would have
Wind's
thought.
Wind's gushing.
It's like the weather guy.
Down the water, the beach.
And the two guys just walking by.
I tell
by
you,
like,
there's
no
water
deal.
Coming up the street.
And your kids die, too.
I would have thought it would have been smarter to go to you because you're the baseball insider. But wouldn't you think Tangway, when they go to him and they actually ask a baseball question, that he would have known this? I mean, he's getting the wrong guys with the wrong conditions.
June.
Apparently he did.
I was talking with some people about this tipping pitchers. I think that's part of it. I don't think that's the complete issue. You know, I thought a lot of it is mental because when you talk about tipping your pitchers, you're still going to be able to throw strikes. There
when have we talked about Price and tipping his pitchers?
We haven't.
It was
hand placement.
How about this?
Oh, he moved to the left of the rubber.
Remember? Never.
He moved to the left of the rubber.
Yeah, well, and
true.
Then no, we talked about how predictable he pitched in certain zones and needed to adjust.
Stop it. Gary just ran a couple
no one
of this
ever
stuff
talked
his
about
head.
That.
We have to remember he had some shoulder problems
nope.
here.
Nope. No, we didn't.
No, that's right.
He had some elbow problems.
So, you know what this is like?
Carpal tunnel.
This is like Pete Shepard in doing the Tennessee. Yeah. Doing the Tennessee radio.
They went to that guy instead of calling him, going to me.
Yes,
okay.
They did.
All right. Wow.
Very good. As I just mentioned, Alex Cora will join us live tomorrow. We're going to do the show over at Fenway, and we're going to spend considerable time with Alex. So we'll be there with Alex
for a
while.
If I bring my glove and a ball, will he have a catch with me?
Catch
suck
you?
On it.
Suck on it.
You're in spring training.
Get a little head pops. You just kind of throw it back and forth. Yeah. Clutch it real tight. Man, that was good.
And I think we'll have time to take some. He's going to spend a lot of time with us. So we'll have some time to even open
you know,
up the
you
phone lines,
lunch.
Take some phone calls.
You should bring food.
We should.
Yeah.
We'll do it.
Donuts?
Yeah, but what we should do is we'll open up the phone lines and let people.
So we're going to actually let people call in and talk to Alex Cora.
Christian, it's not like
that.
It's
you think
new.
That's a good idea?
It's not like it's never been done.
It's not like it hasn't been done.
Has he okayed that?
That's a good idea for you?
Who's
screening these calls? So we're going to be in Fenway. These guys are going to be screening
be
the
me.
Calls.
No, I don't think it's a good idea.
I think it's a terrible idea.
No,
I think it's a terrible idea.
I think you have a little more faith in your crack staff.
First off, Alex, I want to thank you so much for what you do with the team.
Yeah,
I love watching
gonna be the
you.
Problem.
First off, Alex, I'd like to thank
problem.
You. First off, Alex.
Alex, you're the best.
I'd like to thank you.
Are you guys going to get Manny Machado this offseason?
No, right? It's going to be like, oh, you know, I watched the game with my son, and I told him I believed in David Price.
Well, maybe we'll
I believed
do this.
In him.
We'll tell Alex.
Here's
we'll
what
say,
we'll
listen,
do.
None of our callers will start with, first off, thank you.
Awful.
We want to thank you right now on behalf of every call that's calling in. When you call in, do not say thank you. We're going to thank him on behalf of all of you and just get right to a question.
That's a nice way of doing it. Maybe we'll all do it in unison. And then what we'll do is the questions will be screened by our screeners, and then we'll decide which ones get on the air and which ones don't.
Good luck.
Is that good?
This is
going
to be a train wreck.
Alex, you're going to the White House.
Wreck.
Right.
Oh, we can ask him some White House questions.
Well, yeah.
Let's go to the phone calls with that. Here's Dan. He wants to talk about the White House visit. Hi, Dan.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Dan.
Hey, I just wanted to let Christian know that
The White House is everybody's White House. It's not Donald Trump. It's not John Kennedy. It was
I think that's what he said.
Americans.
I think that's Any what Christian American? Said. I think, yeah.
Yeah,
no, he didn't say that. He said it was Donald okay, invited him to his
house. I mean, thank you for technically correcting me. Okay, I think everybody knew what I was talking
Wait,
about.
Wait, he doesn't own that house?
No, Lou, he doesn't own it. You thought he owned it?
Yes, he's paying mortgage.
It does not say Trump Tower on the top of it.
He leveraged some of his hotels to buy it.
I think he's turning it into a hotel.
I see how you're getting around that one, Christian, because you messed it up.
I'll let you keep going.
Hey, Dan, we're in the studio with him. I would love to tell you he got it wrong. I would love to tell you he got it wrong. He didn't get it wrong. He understood it.
Parade day, I'm not in a good mood.
What was it? You understood his take on the whole thing, right, Dan? You understand his take.
Did you get it?
Did you understand his take?
Please catch up.
I understand that they're wrong by not going. Anybody who's invited to the White House should go because it's our house.
Well, okay. Wait a minute.
But let me ask you, Dan.
Suppose they don't want to go, Dan.
Yeah, Dan, let me ask you.
So we're never going to do this topic
Dan,
again.
Dan, so you say they should go, okay? What if they just decide personally a couple guys don't want to go? Do you really care?
Not really.
Good. Thank
Very
you.
Good. Honestly, not really.
Good.
No.
And that's
un-American to me.
Well, okay. Well, you know, they might have their reasons.
I think of it this way. How about all those young men that went over and fought all those wars and 19 to 23 years old was the average age.
Hold on. A White House visit has got
nothing. Do you have a rifle in the back of your truck?
Nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that, Dan. Stop it.
I feel that way.
Okay.
I just feel that way. It's I'm an American.
See, okay, stop. Get rid
so,
of me,
so you hate Tom Brady, right? You hate Tom Brady.
Stop. I'm done.
No, he likes Tom Brady.
This is stupid.
So the guy hates Tom Brady because Tom Brady didn't go 1 year. And what was his reason?
Well, it was last minute. Yeah, he had a family thing.
He had to go to the Apple Store.
Family. That's right.
His iPhone watch, whatever the hell.
I have a problem with anyone that takes it personal, whether they go or don't.
Well, the extremes
that
either
is
way.
Really hurt one way or the other. I don't get you.
See, this guy was the extreme. And Alex Reamer is the extreme on the other side. It just, there's no, why can't we all just be like Glenn?
Most of the guys on the team.
A lot of gray, baby.
Why can't we all be like Glenn? Just walk the fence. Just walk the line. Gray is a beautiful color.
It is.
Gray is not the color of Eeyore. Nope. Gray is soothing.
Well, no, but it is the color of Eeyore, but it is soothing.
But the thing is, it's so loud when it is. You know what? Kaepernick's got the right to do whatever he wants. And if he wants to kneel, then he's got the right to kneel. If somebody wants to kneel with him, then they got the right to do that, too. He can say whatever he wants. It's freedom of speech.
Yeah.
All right, listen, they're going to go to the White House.
Yeah.
What? They can't go to the White House. What happened to freedom of choice, freedom of speech? What
about
he can do whatever he wants? What happened to all of that stuff?
Didn't check off the boxes, Lou.
Like, that's what annoys me. Dude, if they go, they go. If they don't, they don't.
Lemmings, they follow everybody else.
Ass.
They don't want to be independent.
Go walk around and give out candy tonight.
It's maggot.
One way or the other.
So
America.
So would it be a problem to the Reamers of the world if a player simply said, you know, I'm not a fan of Trump. Can't stand him. I don't like what he's done, but I'm going to the White House. Is that a problem?
There probably will be a few people.
Baseball players, I think, are the dumbest of all the four major athletes.
Lou, that's directed at you.
Wow, shots fired.
I don't know, Lou. I've spent time with you. I've spent time with Fourier. I don't know about Reamer's statement.
Do you really think anything Reamer says like is even a blip on a radar?
Tell us what you see, who you see, what's going on.
What you see and who you see.
Well,
paint
I see
us
a
the
duck
picture,
boat.
Lou.
Let's set the scene.
Okay. Oh, it's chaos,
hey,
man.
After I set the scene for 30 seconds, why don't you go ask Tanguay about this roster and what they're going to do in the future?
Was a pretty thin crowd for a while.
Go ask Tanguay and Trini what Cora meant to this team. I'll set the scene. Don't worry about me.
What you needed to set was all the beer that was being thrown at these
Can
guys.
You be there at 9? No, I can't. I can be there at 10, maybe.
Let me ask you this. Would you have known that Kimbrel was the one that was tipping pitches? Would you have known that?
I don't know anything about this team.
Okay.
I just started following him a couple days ago.
Whoever's making the decisions over there at NBC Sports Boston thought Tanguay would know which one has the shoulder problem, which one has got the rubber
NBC
problem,
Sports
which
Boston.
One's got the tipping problem.
It was NBC right? 10.
Oh, was it NBC 10?
It's a difference.
Is that a lower level?
And Neckin too, right?
They had them all there. Is that like minor leagues or is... NBC
no, it's
Sports
just it's
Boston.
The news
is that
side
a sister?
Of it. The news side of it. did it.
I mean, for me personally, this is my 11th parade.
It wasn't NBC Sports Boston who did it. It was the news people and NBC Sports Boston. Some talent went over there, and I just got used as a scene setter.
At least Tangway didn't make the mistake of
waste 3 hours of my freaking day.
I like it when the three outfielders dance at the end of each game they win. That was great. That was exciting. No, that was 2007.
Didn't want to stay in and sleep.
We have to remember he had some shoulder problems here.
Hadn't been home in a week. Didn't need to do anything around the house. Fixed, you know, yard Halloween. Didn't have trees that were down. Didn't have anything. I had to rush out of there to go and do 2 4-minute segments, one off camera, and one was a scene setter. No, it was no big deal. I parked 25, 30 minutes from the freaking spot that I had to go to, walked 30 minutes. It was absolute chaos to get there and to do two hits, and one of them is a scene setter. Talk about wasting 3 hours of my day to set the scene. You gotta be kidding me. What a waste of time.
I love this. This is so
a joke.
Well, he doesn't. So he doesn't really have. You know, he can't be mad at anybody. Angry Lou is dead.
Right.
Should we have a funeral for Angry Lou? I feel like he's dead now.
No. Don't worry about it. Comes out. Comes out.
Oh, basketball season. The beauty.
Wait until the average Al people start calling.
Sorry, I forgot. There's like three different Angry Lou.
The beauty
seasons.
Of it is that it's organic. It just happens. You never know. You never know what the next subject's going to be.
That's true.
You have no idea what it's going to be.
Change the station.
Who knows? Maybe it's our good friend Bill someday. I don't know.
Maybe. I thought there was a lot of bonding there yesterday. All right, let's take a couple more in this, and then we'll get to Teddy Bruschi and talk about the football game. Here's Greg.
Nothing more important than this, Lou.
I know.
Greg, go ahead.
Yeah. How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, this is my opinion. I don't think any team should be going to the White House, period. It costs taxpayers money for every time they go for security and whatnot. That money should be used for the veterans.
Oh, okay, I'll tell you what, Greg. First of all, I don't think the security changes just because every day they have visitors that are showing up at the White House. Second of all, if you notice what usually happens when teams go there, the teams go to the veterans' hospitals.
Yeah.
Okay? Walter Reed, they go and they sit down with those veterans who, have lost their limbs or whatever, and they spend time and they lift them up. I actually think that part of it, that part of the trip for the veterans – is great. That part I'd like to see continue on. I agree with you. I think it's a photo op. It's stupid, but I'm not sure you're right about the expenses. I don't think the taxpayers are paying much for any of this stuff. No
but
different.
Why don't they show? But why don't they show the teams doing this? They don't show that.
Teams doing what?
They do show that.
Sure they do.
They're going to the VA. You never see it on TV?
Well, it's not part of the ceremony. Like your local station will have to do that, but it's not part of the ceremony. There's no big screen TV at the White House.
Why do they have to show
him? He comes up there, he talks, he tells some stupid jokes, and everybody leaves.
Greg, maybe the veterans don't want to. They don't want them to be seen. The players, rather the patients to be seen. Maybe it's a hospital.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Okay, thank you very much. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Teddy Bruschi will join us. We'll get into some of this football game. And the way the national media, who he's part of, is already pumping up and what they are really focusing in on. We'll get all of that coming up next with our buddy Teddy Bruschi.
OMF. We return to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI. And now on OMF.
What Teddy did, he had a great passion for it. Always working hard.
Patriots Hall of Famer and New England legend.
Stop tweeting and get in your playbook.
Three-time Super Bowl champ. Best football analyst anywhere on the Boston airwaves.
This is intercepted by Teddy Bruschi. Teddy Bruschi has done it again.
Full tilt, full time.
Ooh, how we get on that? What team's in Reese?
Teddy Bruschi.
I saw this tweeted out yesterday by Teddy's team 13 years ago today. So this was yesterday.
Yep.
Our captain, Teddy Bruschi, walked back onto the field at Gillette Stadium to play his first game back as a stroke survivor. Mm. Unbelievable. Seemed like 13 years ago to you?
No, guys, it doesn't. I remember that vividly. Just the whole culmination of coming back and everything that went into doing it, how difficult it was mentally, emotionally, physically. So yesterday was sort of a little mini anniversary for me when you look back and I never thought I was going to play again. So coming back, and of course Teddy's team tweeted that out. It's you know, it's nice to relive once in a while. So forming Teddy's team now and also doing things for stroke survivors and raising stroke awareness is, you know, I'm very passionate about that. But it's good to remember. I mean, and also, you know, Stuart Scott on the highlight call of the video, that was good to hear Stu again, too.
Well, you know what, it's funny because just real quickly, because I remember going into the training room and watching you do your rehab. And it's not like a broken leg rehab or whatever. I remember you doing the most simplest things, like walking, stepping laterally through one of those ladders, just in the training room, going, "Wow, good luck."
And also having my heart monitored at the same time because I had the device put in, and at first I couldn't get over. I think it was 100 beats a minute. So if I got it up too fast, I had to sit down and wait for my heart to slow down a little bit because the device they put in was trying to seal two holes, and the term was endothelialized. I mean, your heart heals over the device, and if the blood is rushing through the device, it would prevent healing. So it was something to where I wanted to go. But I remember Ann, my rehabilitation therapist from Spalding Rehab, just having me slow down, sit down. Your heart's too fast. It's got to be this pace. And so it was a long way to go.
You know, and obviously we all would imagine you being extremely determined to get back on the field, doing everything. That was your goal. But was there a time when you said, "Man, this isn't going the way I wanted to. This isn't coming back as quick as I thought. It's just not going to work."
Well, I think initially what it was is I thought I was done when the doctor told me I had a stroke. It's like, okay, well, football's over with. I just automatically felt that because, well, I couldn't see out of the left field of vision of both my eyes. So I can't see. I'm going to get my butt knocked off on the field. I got a hole in my heart. I got to have surgery. My left side, I had deficits on. You know, even going into Coach Belichick and saying, I retired technically. And so I left the facility, retired, a retired football player. I thought I was done. But after that is when, later on, is when my sight started to come back, and then the thoughts of my mind started to sort of formulate of, man, you know, maybe this is possible. And it was something to where I started to get better. My sight, the surgery went well, and then let's not go through the process of trying to convince my wife of letting me play again.
Imagine what that was like.
That was a conversation in itself. But after that, then, you know, you start to believe it can happen again, but initially I didn't think it was possible.
Amazing. 13 years later and all is good.
Thanks.
It
Thanks
is all good. Mm-hmm. Congratulations to all that.
Thanks,
and
buddy.
Congratulations on what you do to get the word out for other people who are dealing with that. All right, and we're not going to waste your time on that Buffalo game. We're going to move right to Sunday night, because Sunday night, this is a premier game in the National Football League schedule with Green Bay coming to town. We were talking about this off the air today. You're already starting to hear it with the national media, and since you're part of the national media, I'd like to get your sense on it. Tom Brady is considered the GOAT out there. I think there are a lot of national media people that would like somebody else to take over that spot, mainly Aaron Rodgers, and they're looking at Sunday's game as maybe the statement game where maybe Aaron Rodgers can take over that title from Tom Brady. Am I seeing something that doesn't exist?
There's a lot of love for Aaron Rodgers out there, yes. It's almost like they want him to be able to show that he's just as good, if not better, than Brady, and he can go into Gillette and win a football game like this. Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he's great. Don't get me wrong. I look at him and the things that he can do and how he makes his teammates better with his ability, how he's talked about taking little pieces of Tom's game in terms of the pocket and how you reestablish that spot in terms of where you throw from, and try to do that from what he's seen on Tom. And there's so much love between Brady and Rodgers. I mean, the California connection and all that stuff, it's there. But Rodgers, in terms of ending up dethroning Tom as the best quarterback, I mean, I just don't think that's going to happen. Of course, I mean, you win championships with a guy, fellas, like I have, and you've seen him behind the scenes, and you've seen him come back from the knee injury and then reestablish his greatness over and over and over again. You see him throw 50 touchdown passes. Am I biased some? I guess you can say yes. I'm naturally biased because he was my teammate, but I think Rodgers and what he's done, the success hasn't been enough. You know, I haven't seen enough success, and it is team victories in terms of winning, but there are spots where Brady's been more successful in pressure situations than Rodgers has, but this is a new chapter now. That was then. This is now. Can Aaron now, you know, Sunday night football, whatever it may be, I mean, coming on and showing that, yeah, I've sort of taken over the throne, you know, people will be watching for that.
So is it if both quarterbacks are equal, and just as each one's just as talented than the other one, then is the difference the coaching? Because if he's really good, then he should always be have his team in a position to win.
Okay, I don't think they're equal. And why I don't think they're equal is I just think the mentality of Tom Brady will never be matched again. I mean, just the assassin type of mentality that I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to put, basically he said it, I'm going to sacrifice my life in terms of what I need to do, put other things aside so I can singularly focus on winning this one football game. That type of mentality, I don't know if Aaron has it. You know, that same killer instinct, that same killer mentality of winning a football game and everything is all on it. That's where I think they're different. The way they are, their demeanor, I think Brady is just more intense, more focused, more – I think he's better of a leader with his team, how he's able to galvanize teams and get guys to play better. I think Aaron Rodgers' style in terms of scrambling, extending the play, is much more – it's a higher degree of difficulty to be successful at that consistently over 16 games. So out of the pocket, it's all street ball. It's what it becomes mm-hmm. for Aaron. I'm playing street ball now. Now, can all these other guys play street ball with me? Sometimes they can, but sometimes they can't. I think primarily players are coached within the structure of a play. And if that play succeeds, that's where you have the maximum success. It's high risk, high reward when you get out of that pocket and you start scrambling. And you can show off, sort of in quotation marks, your ability, throwing off of one foot, you know, these amazing throws across the field, you know, how far you can throw it on the run. You show off your ability, and he has all that in Aaron Rodgers, but it's tougher. It's tougher to succeed consistently with that style.
Yeah, see, I think the greatest of all time, I think the discussion's laughable if you want to compare Rodgers to Brady, given everything that he accomplished right now. Rodgers is not 26 years old anymore. He's a little bit older, but people will look at this one individual game. You know, and if Green Bay wins, it's like, there it is. Boom. He's better. It's one game in which Brady goes against their defense, Rodgers goes against their defense. And you know as well as I do that people will look at this one game if Green Bay wins and say, there it is, Rodgers is better, I told you so.
Yeah, if people do that, that's a mistake, I think, because, okay, one game, and then after Thanksgiving, will the Packers still be there? Like I said, the consistency of winning football games week in and week out, it's there with Tom. You've seen a lot of ups and downs with a Rodgers-led defense in terms of win three in a row, lose three in a row, things like that. The consistency of it is tougher to achieve, in my opinion.
All right, we talk about the defense with you every single week, and it's tough to try to evaluate what they did in the game against Buffalo because Buffalo simply can't score. But I'm not a stat guy, but I look at this Pro Football Focus every once in a while, and I'm looking at the latest grades they have. Edge defender so far this season, Trey Flowers is the highest rated edge defender in the league right now. Stephon Gilmore is like the second or third highest rated cornerback. I don't know what it means. You tell me, looking at these players, we keep on saying they don't have any great defensive players out there. Are we underestimating these two guys?
I think you are. I think Trey Flowers, I mean, in Pro Football Focus, they got the run grade, they have the pass grade, they have the overall grade, things like that. They do get very detailed in terms of their grades. They do a good job, I will say that, and I think I agree with them in terms of, I mean, more particularly Trey Flowers, you know, honestly, I mean, am I studying cornerback play, fellas, when sometimes you can't even see him on the screen, when all you do is see replays? It's a little bit tougher, you know. I'd have to get to the All-22, which I've watched here and there, when you're talking about a Gilmore, when you're talking about corners, things like that. But in terms of the front seven, Trey Flowers absolutely has been playing well. A guy that just comes out of nowhere week in, week out lately has been Kyle Van Hoy, and I just think that he's also one of those guys, like that Ninkovich effect, like who's going to make the play? I mean, there's Van Hoy again. There's Ninkovich again. Those type of guys that it's like, man, he just got a sack. Oh, he just got a tipped interception. You need those players definitely on the team also. And I've just been very impressed with Van Hoy and how he's played also too.
See, I think a lot of people looked at this defense, and especially after the Kansas City game, they said, wow, this defense is slow. This guy is slow. They're a step behind. And I would say every defense looks slow and a step behind with that Kansas City offense. And then you see them the other night, and you're like, wow, they didn't have any issues covering anybody. Now, so when I guess the question is, are they a slow defense, or is just Kansas City really that good?
Well, I haven't seen anyone like Tyreek Hill. I mean, in terms of that type of game speed, catch the ball, 0-5, seems like he's at full speed. So in terms of Tyreek Hill, I don't know where I can compare that to, you know, in terms of that speed. So, yes, I would say it's different. The Mahomes arm. So combine this, the Mahomes arm, the ball getting to Tyreek Hill so quickly that the defense doesn't have that much time to react. And then Tyreek Hill, in a matter of 3 to 4, 3 to 5 yards, getting to full speed. So now I'm just now reacting on the throw that's gotten there so fast, and Tyreek Hill's already out the gate. So that's different in terms of that type of speed, that type of arm power, how it's in combination there. I'll give that saying that is rare and that is unique. But then you go and see Devin McCourty get to like 22 miles an hour returning an interception, you know, because of the old NFL next gen stats and the chips in the shoulder pads and stuff like that. So I think that's just the way they looked at that time. I don't think this is a slow defense. I mean, Gilmore's playing well, McCourty's playing well. McCourty, Chung, that little veteran presence that they have, I don't know how they do it, but that was a bait job of historic proportions on how they got that pick six when you're playing outside leverage and the safety on the other side of the field and a two deep look ends up reading the quarterback and stealing it. That was such a great looking play. I could break that down over and over on how special that was. So veteran presence, you know, a good edge defender, Van Hoy making plays. They just make a couple of those a game and get a couple extra possessions for the offense. They're going to be fine.
All right, so eye test. Forget about stats. You've watched a lot of film, all 22 or not. Okay, you're not a Chatham yet. If you keep working on it, you can be in the Chatham category. But just eye test, right? Because forget about the stats because everybody's playing different teams. Is this a top five defense?
Right now, it's not a top five defense. Is it a top five situation? I'm talking about third down, red area, points per game, sacks, okay? Those are the situations that are important to me defensively. So all of those, are they top five in those type of categories? You're going to get teams that are going to get more sacks. You're going to get teams in those top fives that are good at all of those. If I were to rank top five defenses right now in the league, I would not put the Patriots up there. But do they have players that can make those 3 to 4 plays you need every game to get your offense those possessions and make them in the fourth quarter? I think Hightower's one. I think McCourty's one. I'll put Van Hoy in that category too, with Flowers and a Gilmore. They're all gamers that can make a play when it counts. That's what matters.
Teddy, are you surprised they didn't do anything at the trade deadline, whether it's running back depth, maybe Burkett comes back, corner, Rose on the IR, maybe Duke Dawson comes back, or anywhere defensively?
Yeah, I thought not defensively. No, I wasn't surprised about that. I thought a receiver was coming in from what I was hearing. I thought a receiver was good. They were in the market for that. So maybe Detroit beat them for the Tate and put up more for them. Also with Houston, I mean, look at those teams. I mean, are they, you know, that's Billy O'Brien and that's Matt Patricia, you know, they're making those deals or whatever it was, you know. So, those are, I thought they would definitely upgrade at the receiver position, because I'll tell you this, it's, I'm a Josh Gordon fan. I am. It's just, how consistent can it be? It's just like when he first signed, fellas. It's a week in, week out process throughout this NFL season, and we're not even at Thanksgiving yet. So I'm watching him every single week in terms of the production, the reliability. I mean, you don't hear a lot of things coming out. I know there was the meeting, me possibly being late, the report, whatever it was, and then he's starting. But still, how dependable will he be? I mean, we're still talking December and January, and hopefully for the Patriots, February.
All right, let me give you one more. We were talking about this yesterday with Gronk. When he was getting up off the turf, he came up and looked like he was stiff. We know he's got a back problem. He said one touchdown. That's opening day against Houston. Are you worried about him? I mean, he's getting a lot of coverage out there, but the production is not what we've seen in the past.
Yeah, because even, I mean, you remember the first touchdown of the year, I think it was, you know, Tom couldn't have cared less and still threw it to him in that double coverage. It's just that selectively, I don't know why Tom is not going to him more and him not getting more targets. Maybe that's good. Maybe that's giving him an opportunity to, you know, rest or not take as many hits. But I think definitely there's going to come a point in time where, you know, Rob's got to be the focal point again, especially in the red zone. In the red area, he needs to have more opportunities to beat those double teams. I still think he can.
All right, Teddy. We will talk to you next week. Have a good one.
All right, guys. See
you later. Teddy Bruschi brought to you by Euling All-American Game Day Brew, Feldman Land Surveyors, and by Lowell 5. All right, we'll get back. We'll talk a little bit more Patriots, and we'll get back to the parade and the festivities. And our guy, Inside Lou, MLB Inside Lou, covering the parade.
The hardest working show in radio.
Since we're in the nest right now, we're going to start bitching and complaining.
Yeah.
I would like you to do a little bit more work, and you too. Come in tomorrow with an idea.
It's Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Can you do better in the red zone?
Well, we got to score points. Myself get open and make plays, and we got to put up points when we get down there.
Is that lack of touchdowns, do you feel like you attribute this sort of kind of touchdown drought to?
I'm not really sure. Yeah, everything. Everything you said.
Question, but how much do you miss the end zone?
I think it misses me.
That was a little laugh right there, but just reading the reports of this, of people that were there, a subdued Gronk, no 69 jokes, none of that.
Yeah,
Halloween,
that
no costume. It's,
no vroom vroom.
Yeah, and Mike Giardi followed it up with this question.
Is there a level of frustration, though, maybe? I mean, we're used to seeing you be targeted 8, 10, 12 times a game. I know you're winning, but kind of balance that with your own performance and productivity.
I mean, we're 6-2. We just won 5 games in a row, and we're just trying to get the W every week.
How are you feeling right now, Robbie?
Living.
You're a little subdued today.
Thank you.
where would you say, to kind of piggyback maybe off Mike's question, where would you say your confidence level is at right now?
It's good.
Huh.
He doesn't sound the same.
They said it was just a weird press conference.
Thank you.
I thought it was a weird game for him the other night. Didn't you?
Yeah, he looked right.
I don't think he was 100% at all.
I
still think there's, you know, he's obviously a tough guy, so he's not going to, you know, he's not going to miss as much as possible. And would you say that most of these incentives and all these,
they're gone. There's no chance.
No, he's
right?
got no shot of getting his. No. I think Brady still has a shot at maybe touchdowns. I think he's like one touchdown off of getting into the top 5, but he's not making any of them either.
Neither one
of them are going to make any of them. Brady might get touchdowns.
No, so when you sit there and you think about who gets it right, and you know it's the Patriots got this one right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's still going to be a good player. He's still going to command 2 people to cover him, which even if you're not even catching the ball, if some defenses say, you know what, you're so good, we got to make sure you don't do anything, so we're going to put 2 guys on you.
Thank you.
Okay,
sure.
And so that alone is worth it.
And then he watches and he's like, jeez, you know.
I'm never going to get the ball.
He's a great player, though. That's
Kansas
what great
City doesn't, yeah. Kelce doesn't get 2 guys on him because they got other weapons to worry about. You know, I mean, it's just, who's the other guy? Zach Ertz right now is going cuckoo too, right?
Good. So,
but yeah, with Gronk early on, you weren't going to let him beat him. I mean, look at his numbers right now. He's got 1 touchdown. 1.
And that was the first game.
He's got 29 receptions. So, you know, I mean, we're talking about, well, you know, we're 1 game away, you know, halfway through
Well, he's also missed the one game too.
Yeah.
So this just doesn't help.
So is he end up with 60 catches?
60, 70 catches.
But he's four touchdowns.
Still really good. If he can get five, I would say that would be a. I mean, here's the other thing though. He could go on a five game. Think about this, right? The second half of the season. We're not even at the bye week yet. Second half of the season, he can go on a six touchdown run better than anybody.
If he's well, totally healthy.
Well, I mean, I think health. Okay, granted, that's an obvious, yeah. right? But just in general, like one of their issues, especially last Monday night, red zone.
Yeah,
they couldn't get the ball. They couldn't get a touchdown. They had to settle for field goals. And I would say a big part of that was that they didn't have a tailback. That's what I would say. The when you can run the football inside the 10. It's so much because now, listen, we want to put two guys on you, but we need another guy to help tackle this tailback. So not that Patterson is some chump, but he's not a tailback.
No, he's not.
So you're not looking at him, and there's no fear factor associated with him being in the backfield. You consider him a big, tall, and he runs really tall. So you saw him taking some shots. They gave him the ball the one time inside the 10, and he was getting just jacked left and right. Like, get down, man. Like, bend your knees. You're just a big walking target.
Too big of a target. That's his problem. And, you know, he had that one big run, and that was it. I worry about Gronk, though, because he just didn't look physically right, you know?
But he isn't.
He just did.
I don't think he is.
Yeah, but you really
But here's what happens, though. Usually, okay, this is like the same James White situation, right? Early in the season, offense isn't doing anything. Hey, Tom, you got to get James White involved. Yeah, we're going to get him involved. Look at him now. I mean, he is always involved.
Yeah.
That will be the same way this week with Gronk.
As long as he's healthy enough to get him involved.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming that he is, but the creativeness comes on Josh McDaniels' side. They're doing a lot of play action pass stuff with him, off a fake and stuff like that, and he's running down the field. But they got to find different ways other than just flexing him out. And saying, hey, okay, go. We may give you over the shoulder or we may give you a back shoulder fade, right? You're going to have to adjust to it. Those are low percentage plays. So throw it to him on first down out of a regular set. I mean, that's what I would do. If you want to break your tendency and get him the ball, when they think you're going to run it, throw it to Gronk.
So I asked the question.
Like very first down. Yeah.
So I asked the question to Teddy Bruschi about this whole Rodgers-Brady thing because you can see it building, and it'll build all week long, and it'll be a heavy topic here and nationally. And, of course, Teddy's going to go with his guy because he played with him. I get it.
Foyer.
And you're going to hear this on TV. But it seems to me like there is a love fest for Aaron Rodgers with the national media. And I'll give you an example, and Lou brought this up a few weeks ago. Remember, he had that great finish to that game. They came from behind against San Francisco. And everybody was saying, oh, my God, he's got to be the best. That's the best I've ever seen. And they forget that in the first half, he was one of the guys that put them in that big hole that they needed that comeback late in the game, which he gave them. I'll give them that. But he put them in that hole. And it seems to me that they are just dying to see Aaron Rodgers come up with a big game on Sunday. And I will guarantee you this, when we get to Stephen A. on Monday and Max and all the national talkers, they will, if Aaron Rodgers comes out and beats the New England Patriots and has one of those comebacks at the end, the story is going to be that Rodgers has elevated himself above Tom Brady.
It's not even possible. It's not going to happen.
You don't think they're going to say that? You don't think that'll
happen?
No,
they'll take one game. But in the big scheme of things, I mean, it's over.
Yeah, but they want that.
It's been that way forever and every year. These guys have only played against each other once.
Yeah.
And they haven't played since 2014.
It's over.
And Rodgers won that game.
It's sort of just like now, all of a sudden, it was like two or three years just sort of went dormant because Peyton Manning was no longer in the picture.
Right.
But now, all of a sudden, here comes Aaron Rodgers again. It's like, oh, okay. Well, he's too late to the party. And he doesn't have enough time to make it up.
Yeah. Patrick Mahomes might have a better shot at eventually.
Yes. Well, I'm just saying, like, Aaron Rodgers has to win, two of the next three just to get there. And then we're going to start talking about 5-3 and go from there, right? But, no, he has to. Even last week, you watched that game. We were watching that game. And the Rams' defense right now isn't what it was all chalked up to be, right? And Talib being out and everything. And he wasn't good in that game. I don't think he was good in that game at all.
In the second half, he was. They were able to move the football. But it's just like Teddy said, though. Everything with him, and I think you brought this up years ago, Lou, the football savant that you are. Like everything turns into street ball.
Football.
Everything turns into street ball. He never throws from the pocket.
Drops back, takes a snap, five-step drop, plants his back foot, and delivers the football. It's look, no, spin, roll out, roll to the left, dodge another bullet, look up, flip a little ball, and they go, oh, my God, he's amazing. It's like, okay.
You're trying awfully hard to make this play work, and if you would have just thrown it to the first guy, it would have been so much better.
He doesn't do that because it's so spectacular.
No, very rarely throws to the first guy, ever.
It's so spectacular. That's what they feed into. I mean, the Hail Mary passes over the years. They feed into stuff like that. Oh, nobody else could do that. Do you know how much luck is involved in Hail Mary passes?
I mean, he's just throwing it far like everyone else does, right? I mean, he's just throwing it up, and it's a Hail Mary prayer.
Nobody else can do
it. Somebody catches it. Now, it's just, is it a coincidence, or does he throw a better ball that's more catchable? It's a total coincidence.
Yeah. See, what the NFL should have done, like the way they manipulate the schedule, is if they wanted this rivalry, right, the two best quarterbacks, if they wanted this to be a rivalry, make sure they play every single year. Just like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady played every single year, sometimes
twice
a year.
It's all set.
I know, but listen, you're the NFL. You're worried about numbers. You're worried about ratings.
No,
you
want to
start a rivalry. Make sure those guys play every single year. No, they can't do it. Well, you know what? Find a way.
Yes, we can.
It's every 4 years.
We're the NFL. We can do whatever we want.
They could easily have found a way.
Change the rules.
Because that's what made Manning and Brady so good. It's because they played all the time.
Regular season
and
postseason.
In the postseason.
They played
too,
a regular season to find out where they would play in the postseason, usually home field.
It's like Pittsburgh. It's like I know it's the same, you know, AFC, but if they, because who was Aaron Rodgers' adversary in the NFC? Was it Drew Brees? Who's his nemesis in the NFC?
It wasn't.
So there's always Brady and somebody else. And there's Ben, there was Peyton. And I think that's pretty much it. Right? Nobody in the NFC East, but in the NFC,
well, Russell Wilson has had a lot of success here recently.
But again, but not really. I mean, he was here.
Well,
he's
in two Super Bowls.
I know, but since then, nothing's happened. The Legion of Boom, Doom, or whatever the hell they called it, is dead. Like, he doesn't have a running back anymore. And Pete Carroll is, you know, losing the locker room. They don't like his college football coaching style. So
I think they played pretty well this year, especially their offense.
My point is that there was no consistent. No, level
no, I
with
hear
him.
What
he
you're saying.
He took some drops, and you're like, okay, well, who is it now?
No, that was a good point. That the Peyton Manning Brady thing became a rivalry because they faced each other so often. We've had one matchup between Rodgers and Brady, and that was in 2014. And Rodgers, to most of these media people, are the next guy on the list if we're talking about who's the best. But I think they're going to use Sunday night as a referendum.
I just saw this thing on ESPN. They did this whole piece on what if. What if Aaron Rodgers was a Patriot and not Tom Brady?
With Bill Belichick as the coach, right?
Yeah, with Bill Belichick as the coach.
Well, that's one thing.
That's always going to be the argument. Yeah. Well, he's got Bill.
Right.
Mike McCarthy
sucks, and he calls the plays. McCarthy calls the plays. They're already using that as the reason that Aaron Rodgers isn't as good as Brady. Well, he doesn't have the same coach.
We don't really do it that way.
Okay. So we do assume, because we keep on having the argument here in New England, who's more important, Belichick or Brady? So if Bill wasn't here, would Brady be what Rodgers is?
Yeah, that's right.
Would we have one championship here?
That would be a fun experiment, right? So if Brady went to just pick a team, doesn't matter what it is, based on the fact that he's, you know, that whole mentality that he has, would he make any team a dynasty? Or could some coach come in there and screw it up? Is he that good?
We'll never know.
I get it.
I think any coach could come in and screw it up. Right? I think any coach could screw it up.
Yeah.
We've seen that before.
A lot of bad players. I know, but when you have a bad coach and you have a really good quarterback, they take care of the crappy calls.
Yeah. Well,
you can't call a crappy play because they make it work.
Well, I'm just saying, what do you think of Matt Ryan? Is he crappy? Or was he just MVP?
Depends what year it is.
But I would say that was
Shanahan. Right? If Shanahan was there for, if he was the head coach, if he was there for 10 years, 8 years, would we get the MVP Matt Ryan, or would we get the one we've been getting outside of?
I think that's a factor, though, Lou. You could look at Tom Brady and you say he was a 6th-round draft pick. Most teams would not have stayed with him for a long period of time, right? 6th-round draft pick, body doesn't look like an NFL quarterback, but Belichick brought him along. Now, Tom Brady now, or Tom Brady 3-4 years into the NFL, could have played for anyone.
I love
him. And could have excelled, but the first 2 or 3 years of Tom Brady, that might have been ultra important to have a guy like Belichick there, right?
Yeah,
Brady's in a different spot now.
But he was, because it's funny, because
he could play for anybody.
Because I was here the year after he won the Super Bowl. So there was, nobody knew if Tom Brady was going to be Tom Brady.
He was just quarterback.
He was just maybe he got lucky. I don't know. Maybe it was his time. Yeah. And you had no idea that if he was going to be who he is, right? If he was going to have the opportunity.
Could have been Nick Foles.
Yeah, he
won
could.
Won a Super Bowl.
But I,
looked good for a while.
But it was easy to tell, for me at least, after playing with some of the guys that I played with, going, wow. I mean, I played with Warren Moon, and he at that point in time, I thought he was the best I'd ever seen, right? As far as his knowledge, everything else. Brady was just as good. When I first met him, I was like, wow, okay, so maybe this isn't just a flash in the pan type of thing. Maybe this guy is going to be really good, maybe special someday.
All right. We'll talk more about it in the final hour. We'll also talk a little bit about David Price. If you missed it, he has opted in. He is going to be with the Red Sox for the next 4 years at $127 million. We'll get back into that. 617-779-7937.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.